What's up, you guys? Thank you for tuning in today. I'm super excited to bring you this episode. I fell in love with this woman on Instagram and had to reach out to her to talk to her and just hear her story. She has so much to say when it comes to body positivity, body image, weightlifting, binge disorder, body dysmorphia. The list goes on. We had such a great time. I can't wait for her to come back. So without further ado, here we go. Welcome back to another episode of Reclaim Your Power. And I'm super excited today to have my guest, Julia Stringer, with me all the way from New Zealand. She's actually a day ahead of us. Julia caught my eye because her page is, it's amazing. It's beautiful. I've become obsessed. It's just about body positivity. She has a lot of great content. She's a weightlifting coach. She has 4 children. And it's just amazing watching her. I literally just kind of like, I got awestruck. And so I had to have her on the podcast today just to kind of talk about her background, where she's been, how she got into feeling this whole body image persona area in her life, what she does. And we're just going to go and we're going to dive deep into this over the next 40, 45 minutes. So welcome, Julia.
Thank you. I'm so stoked to be here.
I'm super excited. So tell me all, I mean, like I said, I went on your page and I just became very inspired. I guess I said obsessed. It's kind of, that sounds harsh, but but just very inspired. You kind of embody everything that I am kind of like still working towards. Just in my area of life. So I just kind of want to talk to you about a little bit of where you've been and how you got to where you are now.
So it's been a gradual process. It hasn't been like just a boom happening or awakening, I suppose. It's just a gradual thing that weightlifting has actually helped really empower me and to appreciate my body for what it can do as opposed to what it looks like. I've in the past had issues with low self-esteem, depression and eating disorders. And so I get all of that and where people struggle with their self-worth. And for me, it's weightlifting, yeah, definitely helped me. My coach was amazing. And he wouldn't let me, I suppose, talk crap about myself as well. So he was really, really good. And then just being really stoked at what I could do, what I could lift, the achievement I was having with my body as opposed to focusing on what it looked like. It's been about 5 years. So what you're seeing now is me just giving a big middle finger to society and expectations and what everyone thinks people should act or look like. And I have found that by coaching others, that by speaking positively to them and building them up, I've naturally did the same for myself. You can't talk and speak those words while talking negatively about yourself. So yeah, coaching, being coached by who I was coached by, and then coaching others has therefore helped myself as well. Because there is that saying, and you wouldn't talk badly about your best friend, you know, and you're supposed to be your best friend.
I love that. That's so true. That is so true. And I often hear that, you know, how would you talk to your best friend? But I've never heard anyone say that as elegantly as you, because you're supposed to be your own best friend. Like, that's the missing piece right there. I love that.
Yeah.
And that's true, right? You should be your own best friend. And I think that that's something that we don't think about. And I kind of want to ask you, So prior to, because you mentioned, you know, you had depression and body image issues. When did that start for you?
I think like most people, about 12, 13, you know, when your body starts changing. And for me anyway, like I'm naturally a bigger girl. Like I've got big hips, I've got a big bum, I've got broad shoulders. And so, you know, I'm 38. So I was growing up back in the era of like Kate Moss, Paris Hilton, you know, and they're all fine. That's their natural build. There's nothing against them. But when you are not, then it can be difficult, especially when that was the era of all those nasty magazines, you know, those tabloid ones, and you get sucked into that, and it's very detrimental. It really is.
Absolutely. And I feel even more closer to you because I am just a few years older than you, but I can relate to that 100% because I had all those magazines, and you had Kate Moss and, you know, Cindy Crawford and Nikki Tate, like all of those models. And, you know, it is very detrimental. And so you were 12. That's young. That's young.
Yeah.
Did you go on like your first diet or anything of that?
So ironically, I started smoking so I wouldn't eat.
Oh.
Yeah. So I pretty much just didn't even diet so much as just jumped straight to an eating disorder, to be honest.
Okay.
How
long did that go on before? Did you have to, was it like a diagnosed thing or did you kind of like?
So I was undiagnosed because officially I was never underweight enough to be, considered anorexic, because there's like eating and eating disorder undiagnosed or underdiagnosed. They've got terms pretty much. For you to be termed anorexic, you have to have a certain body weight or BMI. And ironically, I never quite hit that. So I was never clinically considered anorexic, even though I had all of the traits and I wasn't far off the BMI, but yeah.
Okay. So you're 12, you stop eating anorexia. What happened next? Like where did you go from there? So you try to get help or...
No, I didn't really. So I kind of, you know, bounced back and forth for a few years. My dad passed away when I was 17. And then I jumped right to the other end of the spectrum and started binge eating and put on quite a bit of weight.
Okay.
And my first year of uni, I got to be quite big. And then, so probably, I don't know what it is in American sizes, but in New Zealand, it would be about a size 20. So, and I think in American, that would probably be a 16, but I'm not sure on the conversion rate, but I was a big girl. I was too big for my size and I was very unhealthy. And then jumped to the other end of the spectrum, went back to, fasting, I suppose, and dropped back down and lost about 30 or 40 kilos unhealthily in a year.
Oh wow.
Yeah, dropped quite rapidly. So it has been a thing for quite a long time that I was very disordered and jumping from one extreme to the other, and it continued even after I had my first two kids. And then I had my last son, so I have four kids. Mm-hmm. And I had my last boy, and I was a beauty therapist, and I was working in a clinic that had like massage therapists, me doing beauty therapy. We had a physiotherapist, an osteo, like just a group of different professionals that we're all in. We could refer clients back and forth, you know, to each other. And downstairs was a CrossFit box. So I used to have, lunch with them. And at that point, I had gotten quite big again. I was sitting at about 130 kilos. Yet again, I'm not sure what that equals out to pounds, probably 200 and something. And started doing CrossFit, started doing three times a week. The first week or two was rough, was really, really rough. I'd come shaking, wanting to vomit, I was just so unfit. And they had scaled the workouts, they had modified them, but I just, you know what, I hadn't done anything for a long time. I used to be fit, and I think I tried to do too much in those first few weeks. I couldn't move, like it was bad. But I was ready for a change, like it just flicked that I just couldn't keep doing what I was doing. And so just being surrounded by that atmosphere of, you know, health professionals who were all looking after themselves. Everyone did CrossFit that was in that work environment. So you were encouraged to block out a portion of your day to go do CrossFit at lunchtime or whatever. And then the people that I worked for, because I was considered a sole trader, but you know, the people that owned the building were quite supportive and almost like, go and do this. So I just had all the right things in places at the time to support at that time. And that's what I try to give to my clients as well, is basically, a lot of people just need the mental and emotional support to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you said like your work required you to block off time. That's something, I don't know if that's a standard over there, but that's something I know here. Okay. I know here, if it's a health place, maybe, but a lot of times, you know, to have someone say, take this time off for your.
Yeah. I wouldn't say required, but it was very heavily encouraged, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. And a lot of my listeners, you know, they are in that place right now where, you know, they're stuck.
And, yeah.
You know, and it's awesome that you had that support. But what do you say to when like someone's like, I just can't do it, right? Because you did the yo-yo dieting thing. I've done the yo-yo dieting thing. My listeners have done the yo-yo or are still doing the yo-yo dieting. And, you know, they just have that, I feel stuck. I don't know what else to do. And they just grasp on to the next workout, right? What would you say to that?
I would say small changes. I would say to what I say to my clients that come and work with me is that forget the food for the moment. Concentrate on getting 8 hours sleep. Concentrate on being consistent with an exercise that you enjoy, whether it's walking or Zumba or weightlifting or CrossFit. You need to find what works for you. Yoga, whatever. Just find something that you might not like when you first start. You're not going to like it all the time, but find something that you enjoy like 80% of the time and make sure you go three times a week. Water and sleep. That's all I ask from my clients when they first sign up with me is get your 7 to 8 hours sleep, drink your water, and turn up three times a week. Once you have been doing that for once you've got that solid, then we will talk food.
I love that.
But you need to get into a habit. And if you are sleeping crappy, you're not going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to work out. Sleep is vital. People keep prioritizing diet, exercise, and then sleep, but it's the wrong order. you need to go sleep first.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I want to talk about the weightlifting because, you know, another thing that really drew me to you too is because you don't look like what you see on Instagram. And I think that is so beautiful because you, I watched one of your videos, which I wanted to ask you too about your thumb, and you were back to deadlifting that weight. And I thought, wow, this is like one of the things and this is might just be my perception, but you know, when people go to your page and they're like, oh, she's a weightlifting coach. How did you think about that when you went into coaching?
I just assumed that I think my insecurities came through from me first. Like I thought people would judge on the fact that I'm a woman and the fact that I'm bigger than most coaches, but the people I've worked for or with, like once they've had a session with me, they actually respect the fact that I know what I'm talking about, I know what I'm doing. Some things I probably, you know, I cannot do. Like I admit, I cannot do some of the movements that I do coach people with between my weight. I've buggered my shoulder up. Like there's a few different things, but that doesn't mean that I can't coach it. Like I know the movements, I know what you need to do to get to where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a thing that just because the flip side is like just because you're a good athlete doesn't mean that you're a good coach, and you don't have to be a good athlete to be a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to just get over myself a little bit and not push my insecurities onto others. And once I found my rhythm and stuff, like people respect that I know what I'm about. And the people that don't, well, that's not, they need to find themselves another coach because it's never going to work. I don't have to justify what I know to them. Like if they're not happy, then go find another coach.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Absolutely. Absolutely. I was going to ask you, so I know you said you get your shoulder and your thumb.
What
happened to your thumb? What happened?
Would you believe it was gardening? I was repotting a plant. And so my son had knocked a pot plant off the bench and it had split, but it turns out it was a hairline split. And I just went to crack it open like you do a pumpkin or a watermelon.
Yeah.
And it gave and it sliced all the way up. I don't know if you can see them. But yeah, it sliced all the way and across, and I got a big lump of scar tissue across there. So it has, it partially severed it. and I had about 9 stitches in it. I still can't feel it. It feels kind of like, you know, when you slam your thumb in a car door or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The nerve endings are buggered in it. Like, and all you have to do is laugh. Like, everyone's like, oh, a knife. No, it was a ceramic bloody vase.
I was like, how did she? What?
Just talent.
I love that. All right. Now that I know the story, because I couldn't wait to ask you that question. Okay, and then the other thing I wanted to ask you too is with your, I mean, again, you are all about just showing women that they can be strong and feminine. And I also would beg to differ to say that you can be any size, right? You can be any size and beautiful and still be healthy.
Yes.
That is what you're...
That's exactly what I'm trying to put across, is that I know so many women who are thin and who are society's idea of what is deemed healthy, but when you actually run tests on them, they're not. They're just, you know, they have visceral fat on their organs, they smoke or just skinny fat, mm-hmm. And they don't have anyone questioning their health because they fit into a certain size or a BMI, but they could be doing crack on weekends, but nobody cares because they fit into a certain size. Whereas women and men, but women get villainized for being over a certain size, despite the fact that I know plenty of plus size women and bigger women who eat healthy, who when you run tests on them have healthier insides, and who, you know, they watch what they eat and they go for walks and they're just meant to be bigger. Like one of the girls that I coach, she's nearly 6 foot, you know, and she is a big, she's supposed to be big. She's got broad shoulders, you know, and she's fighting the society image of the fact that she is grossly unhealthy. I mean, and yeah, there's things she could tweak, and that's why she's coming to see me. And I'm not going to say she's on an optimum health, but we're working towards improving things. But she's not as unhealthy as people think that she is just by looking at her.
You said something that I feel like needs to be said again, and I want you to kind of explain or kind of expound on that a little bit more. Because I know what you're talking about, but you said she's meant to be bigger. And the reason why I like that is because, well, I'll let you go into it. What do you mean when you say that?
She's got big shoulders, she's got big hips. She is so her background is she's Dutch. And so, you know, they're taller, they're a different build. I'll go back to me. My calf size. So you were talking about moments that are kind of a bit clarifying. A moment for me was my daughter used to be a competitive gymnast, but I was sitting with the other gym mums and they were all talking about, you know, weight and all of that crap. And I don't know how it came about, but I kind of just said to them, I was like, you know, I'm not supposed to be the same build as you. My calves are the same size as your thighs. And in saying that, it clicked in me even as I was saying it. I'm not supposed to be the same size as this woman that's sitting next to me. She is her perfect size. She is fine. But, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to be her size when my calf is the same size as her, you know, her quads. Yeah. I weightlift. I've got more muscle. I'm bigger. Fight to be the same size as her is ridiculous. Like, you yeah. know, I can't shave my thigh, my, you know, my calves down. So I just think that some of us are not supposed to be a size 8, and that's okay. It doesn't mean we're unhealthy.
I love that because, and the reason why I love that is because I resonate with that 100%. It took me, I'm 43, it took me probably 35 years to realize, you know, like I'm not supposed to, you can't, like you said, you can't shave down. We're structured in a certain way, not to say that we can't, you know, I always say, you know, I can condemn you if you right. condemn, but I support the fact that you want to, you know, get stronger, get bigger, you know, yeah. whatever, but to physically chase that.
If you want to lose the weight, that's fine for you, for your health, but it has to be for you, not for a view of society that you're chasing.
Yes.
And do you really want to be on your deathbed going, I never reached that weight. I spent all my life fighting against my own body to achieve a weight I didn't even get to.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is too, this is something I often say, is that the more you fight, the less chance you even have to even try to yeah. lose weight naturally. So stop fighting your body. You know, it's no, that was great. I love that saying that you're supposed to be bigger. Like you're supposed to be what you're supposed to be.
Yeah. So there's some, you know, women that are naturally thin, and that's fine. That's their build. They, you know, usually they have slender hips and, mm-hmm. You know, but, and that's I just think trying to accept what you are, what your build is, be that slim or thicker or what it is. You don't have to be a certain size or weight to be feminine. You're feminine because, you know, you're female or you are associated, I suppose, with your feminine energies, be you a boy or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm so over society and people trying to box people into a square or a box, you know, like,
I agree. Just
you can be whatever you want to be.
I agree. And like I said before, like, I just captivated. Your pictures are beautiful. It's just beautiful. And I will say this, after looking at your page, like, you came through on one of my things, and I actually did do a post. It's just me in my mirror in my bra and underwear, and I keep telling myself I want to do more. Like, I feel like that's like my next progression, but you really did inspire me to do that, because I've finally come to a place. I mean, this is a few years ago, but I've come to a place with, you know, with my eating, with my body, and that's what I help women do as well. So I personally want to thank you for that. And I think it's beautiful. It truly is. So I'm going to wrap things up a little bit, but, self-care, what do you do for self-care?
Not much. I'm pretty low key, really. Probably just making sure I go for a walk most days. I tend to get grumpy if I don't get out of the house. So, like, to the point even my husband will be like, piss off and go for a walk. I suppose sometimes just going to the kids, I'm going into my room for half an hour, leave me alone. The weightlifting also is a big self-care thing for me. And that's why I say to people, find something that you love, that will you enjoy and fills your cup, as opposed to being something you have to do to punish yourself or to because you have to, because it's healthy or whatever. It should be a joy to do. And if it's for 80% of the time, because sometimes there's just days you just don't want to, and that's fine. So go for a walk. Half-ass it. There's nothing wrong with the occasional half-ass workout, because at least then you've done something. But I am pretty low-key with my self-care. Read a book, have half an hour without the kids, or just go for a walk. So I'm outside and away from everything else.
Yeah, just to connect with you again.
Yeah, and just not have to make a decision or think for someone else.
Yes. I can relate 100%. My daughter is 11 months, so I do a lot of thinking and decision making.
Yeah.
What would you tell your 12-year-old self?
Fuck everyone else.
Simple enough. Fuck everyone else.
I suppose that's pretty much it. I'd like, honestly, I cursed the day that they started doing BMI and height and weight measurements and bloody PE. I really do. Yeah. But just fuck everyone else.
I love that. What else? What's setting your soul on fire right now?
Just knowing that what I'm saying is resonating with so much people. I just love the fact that I'm getting out there, and I just love that it's been a positive thing for so many women, that it's I just love it. I love that I've had so many messages going, we love your stuff, it's made me feel so much better.
I love that.
I just love that. And I love when I coach people and I have, women come in, like, I've got a lady that started a month ago, and she came in last week, and she's 50, and She was like, I wore shorts and a singlet the other day for the first time in years. Oh. That shit just makes me so excited. I love that.
That is exciting. That's awesome. That's awesome. Last question. What does it mean to you to reclaim your power?
I'm not entirely sure. I suppose for me, reclaiming my power is just being more confident in myself. And then honestly, I don't know. I don't generally think in those terms usually.
It's okay.
So that's a tricky question for me. But I just know that I am probably more content in myself at this age than I have ever been. I'm less likely to take crap from people, and I don't care what people think. And I suppose that in itself is reclaiming my power. Yeah. That I don't want to be, you know, like the years go so fast. I can't, like, I'm turned 39 this year. And before I know it, I'm going to be 60. And I just don't want to sit there thinking of what could have been or fighting myself for all these years. Live, go for a walk, have the donut, like, just live your life and be healthy for, like, as most of it. Just sleep, drink water, and work out, and then, you know.
That's beautiful.
You know what you need to do. Just live your life.
Live your life. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Well, Julia, thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm so excited. I'm so happy to find
out. Yeah, it's fun. I could sit here talking for ages.
I know. I'm excited. Me too. We'll stay in touch off camera. Yeah, for sure. I love all of
happy to come on for another episode, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. We'll definitely do this. Instagram, how can people find you and all your stuff?
So people can find me on www.instagram.com and then /Jules JULZ_Stringer STRINGER.
Perfect. All right, Jules. Yes. Do people call you Jules?
Yes. I very rarely call Julia unless I'm in trouble.
Oh, okay. Well then, Jules it is. Yeah. Well, Jules, thank you for coming on. And yes, it's been a pleasure, and I will have you back for sure very soon. Hey guys, did you enjoy today's topic? If something in this episode resonated with you, I would love it if you would share it on your social media. The more people that get a chance to listen means the more people I get to help. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for another episode.